The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fiber for the best deals in broadband, television and phone. 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefiber.com.
Now it's a Monday, it's time now for the Lunchtime Social debate. We've got a few subjects that I want to talk about. There's this, that and the other, and there's going on at the moment. There's something left over from last week, and what was the other thing? You came up with
Men and women, yes.
Getting paid the
they
same.
They should be paid the same, yeah, because they're doing the same job.
Which I totally agree.
Yeah.
They should, so that's the end of that conversation.
Yeah,
I agree,
okay,
that's
then.
It, I've overseen it.
Yeah, okay then.
And there's
Christmas cards. Well, yes, I send them. That's that finished with.
thanks for being there today. We'll be back tomorrow. The other subject, I'm really not sure about.
I don't know.
And I'm really not. And the reason why I'm not is because, like everyone else, you're all numb with what's happening. Because you then follow this on and think, how safe are we?
Yeah.
What I really detest is the way that the media are all over this like a rash in a way that is so inappropriate. It really is. You know, this morning you've got BBC and ITV like within 100 yards of each other saying these poor people, and they're absolutely right, these poor people, they need to, you know, put their lives back together again. Well, they're not. All the time you're there with the camera crew and hundreds of other camera crews, they're not going to be piecing their lives back together again. You know, there's all sorts of things that I'd like to say, but I don't really want to offend anybody, because it just seems that even by putting up a red, white and blue flag, you know, some people are doing that, but they're offending others because, oh, if you think that makes a difference, and you think, okay,
no, if
that's not what we want.
If they want to do it, that's their choice, isn't it?
I think everybody's got their own way of doing
things.
Of course we have. But maybe we just be careful what we say, how we say it, because... Mm. You know, tensions are running high, and there's a lot of concern out there all the way around the world, and people are making the points, and they're valid points that these sorts of things didn't only go on in Paris last week, but other areas, but it was hushed up, and you got asked the question why.
Yeah.
And you know, we just got to be so careful with what we say. But I say you're of a certain age. I know I bang on about it, but I'm being serious now. You're of a certain age, and I look up to you and your generation, because we've always had this stiff upper lip.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the stiff upper lip is not quite so stiff anymore. And you know, I think we put all our feelings out there for everybody to see. And I think sometimes we just, you know, maybe that's a way of dealing with it. But I think sometimes we ought to just be quiet and don't say too much.
But you see, Ian, we don't know the answer.
We don't know the answer. That's
you know,
I mean,
there are lots of things I could say, but I won't.
You said something earlier on that was really, really quite poignant, and that is you fear for the next generation.
I do.
For these kids that are growing up now. Mm. You know, and you know, I think you're right to say that.
It's a horrible world at the moment.
And that's why we've brought in Brandon, okay? And Brandon is one of those, you know, you're 19.
Yeah.
You're 19. In 20, 30 years' time, I won't be here. And definitely Dame Shirley won't be here either.
Mm-hmm.
But you hopefully will be.
That's an upsetting thought, to be honest. I don't want to think like that.
Yeah.
Not because we're not here. I know, but at the same time, you just think, what kind of world are you going to live in?
Well,
that's the question. Yeah.
I've not said anything on Facebook about this whole Paris affair, or you know, all these the news has really exploded on this whole subject. I mean, obviously they're like, not in a bad way, but they're like rats. They jump in. They just try to nibble at everything to get all the information and details out. But when it comes down to it, what's left is just bone, and raw solid bone that's upsetting and emotional. And obviously what happened in Paris was just, it's never right to take someone else's life over whatever thought, you know. Throughout history, people have murdered each other, you know. I mean, Christianity with the Templars in the medieval period, you know, they used to go around and burn people and kill whoever they could, because in the name of Lord and Saviour, you know, I don't mean that offensively, but that was a long time ago. We were a lot more simple back there. And as you said earlier, we had a stiff upper lip, blah, losing my words. And I have to admit, I feel for the older generation. I saw a picture on Facebook and actually brought a tear to my eye, and it was an old man with loads of war medals, and there was a little girl, and basically it was an interview, and the little girl said, would you go through all that again? And he said, I'll do it for you.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, through all that hell, you know. But for our generation, would we do the same thing for our younger lot? And I don't know. I think the younger generation is going to need a kick, and a big one, and something like World War III will.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, the wars these days are different to what they were.
Mm.
You know, well, World War One, World War Two.
The big thing is atomic annihilation. I don't think, as much as North Korea likes to say that, hey, we could press that button. If they do, that it kills everyone, so they don't win in the long run. So I don't think that will happen as such. The only way it would happen is if America or Russia does it.
Mm.
I doubt Russia will, because Russia knows if they do that, they'll eventually seize up and disappear as well. But from going from main thing, it's a big news story. But what I've seen on Facebook, and I saw a status and I agree with it, who's ready for World War III?
Yeah, but I then think, you know, we've probably, World War III has been going on for the last X amount of years.
Since what's been happening in Iraq, it's spread, and now France is getting it. Europe will turn around, and all its allies will go, hey, what are you doing? And before we know it, it will just kick off again. But
I think it has already, Brandon. I think without the media, it's not helped.
Without it being,
you know, very, very crystal clear, like, you know, back in the day, you know, the First World War.
You knew what was happening.
You knew who your enemy was. This is just totally different.
The thing that I find with war now is I like war to be thought of as men fighting for their country. They will sacrifice their lives. They will fight till the dying breath to save everyone at home. Now it's just drop a bomb, done. I mean, a Predator strike, which is a missile that hits the ground, can, well, flatten a village. And it's scary, because that's not war, that's just pressing a button. Mm. You know, someone can do that in England and drive a remote control drone into a building. It's just, that's not war, that's, I don't know, it's not honourable anymore, it's not respectful, it's not, you know, what the men did in World War One and Two. So lots changed,
yes,
and I just
different. Yeah,
I don't know. Why can't the world just be happy and peaceful?
Well, that never happened, and it's always been this way. Unfortunately, there's always supposedly it's the most natural thing in the world.
Yeah.
You know, we've been doing it to each other for years and years and years. It ain't going to change, and it's just getting a whole lot worse at the moment. We all know that. It begs the question for people like Shirley and myself.
Yeah.
Okay, although there's 20 years between us, we're asking the same question. What's the future for you guys? What's the future? Mm. What kind of world are you going to live in?
Mm. Well,
I've almost had my life. I've only got a few years left, and Shirley's got even less. Mm. But you know, what happens to you and your children?
Yeah,
because we've come such a way in the last 20 odd years that, you know, it's just getting progressively worse and worse and worse. Now, maybe it's a mindset that we're in now. You know, it's forever on the telly. Back when you were younger, okay, you wouldn't have seen
this on the TV,
so you may have been unaware, more unaware.
Mm.
So it begs the question, would you rather be unaware or would you rather be aware of what's going on?
I don't know. I think we need to be aware for security, you know, sort of keeping our eyes open wherever we go.
Yeah, well, sometimes knowing is the worst thing as well. That's why I've kind of stayed off Facebook for a lot of reasons. But, like, seeing all these news reports and people talking about it, it's just a harsh subject. And it's people feeding the fire of hatred. It really is.
But we all know what's going on. We've just got to be aware.
Yeah.
Wherever we go, I think.
But going back to my original question, do you want to be aware? Do you need to be aware of it all?
I think we've got to be vigilant.
Because I kind of understand why people would bury themselves into I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, or X Factor. And I've been moaning about these people for so long because, you know, they just... And I think to myself, hang on a minute.
Life goes on.
On a day like today, or periods of time like we've got, would it be nice to just have some escapism where you just say, right, okay, I'm going to watch this programme and I'm going to forget about what's going on in the world.
Well, you do that as well, but I think if you're out and about, especially in a big city or something, I think airports and that, I think, you know, we have to be really aware.
Hey, just to point out, this is lunchtime social debate. It's three people from three generations just giving their honest feelings. Mm. You know, basically, we're all a bit numb and we're all a bit dumbstruck.
Don't know what to say, really.
We have no answers.
No, we haven't.
You know, I get frustrated when other people pretend that they know what we should be doing.
We don't know.
Yeah.
I think if it were that simple, then
they would have done it.
Powers
the government
that be
would do it.
Mm. It's not. It's such a. We live in a really complex, nasty little world at the moment.
I mean, within hindsight, they should never have let all those refugees come walking in the way they've done. But I won't go on. I won't say any more. But, you know, the thing is...
I am fearful of that. That's going to do something.
See, the thing is, you know, 99% of those people are probably, and are, completely innocent.
Well, it only takes one, doesn't it?
No, I know. So what do? Do we say, right, OK, we're not going to shut all the borders, we're not going to let anybody in? I think, I think that will be the wrong thing to do. Do we let people win by doing that? Oh, right, that's what we're going to do. We had a moment silence earlier on, and you just think, right, okay, rather than having a moment silence, maybe let's focus our minds elsewhere. Let's make something happen rather than it be so negative. And I know that it's a difficult one. And as I say, this new generation of people, I think, is where maybe they step up to the plate. Very recently, we've had people where when somebody sadly passes on, they don't have a moment's silence; they have a moment's applause.
That's right. You celebrate their life.
I love this whole aspect of a moment of silence. But when it comes down to it, I'm not saying everyone thinks like this, but say if you ask someone in the middle of June, are you thinking about the soldiers during, you know, World War II, World War One? Mm. Half of them will just be look at you dumbfounded, like what?
I think you need to.
Yeah. If you're going to respect something and believe in something like that, don't do what the crowd does, because this is one thing I really dislike with my generation is the mainstream. Now, if you don't know what the mainstream is, it's say something happens like Selena Gomez marries whoever or whatever. Loads of people will, like, on this giant road, will send opinions, will chat, will discuss, will argue, and then a couple of weeks pass and it will die. And that's the mainstream gone. Like this Paris thing, this whole affair is the mainstream now. Yeah. It's the word.
Yeah.
And what I really dislike about the younger generation, my generation, is that the mainstream is just the only thing that people live by. And the moment of silence is like that. I know a guy on my Facebook who he doesn't care about much. He only cares about himself. Mm. But whenever there's a mainstream thing to talk about, he'll put it up and he'll be like, oh, respect this and all that. And it's kind of like, but do you really? Do you really, or are you just doing that because everyone else is?
Attention seeking.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I think a lot on Facebook is attention seeking.
It's upsetting. It really is. Yeah, I mean, I respect what the World War II folks did and the World War I folks. I mean, I don't have a list here of names, but if I did, I'd gladly read them out. I mean, there's so much history, and history is such a big thing. And I mean, I remember reading a documentary about when all the older folk pass away, you know, that moment of the people who survived World War II and have memory of it. As soon as they all pass out, World War III will kick off, apparently. That is the... And Dame, when was you born? How close to you was you in World War II?
At the end of the war.
Exactly. Mm. And your generation are just starting to slowly dwindle now.
That's right.
So,
but I mean, there's wars going on, like in Afghanistan and Iraq, and they're going on all the time, aren't they?
Mm. The thing is, they're slightly a threat to us now, aren't they? Because close to us.
We could teach the children about World War I and World War II, but we couldn't. What's going on now?
Yeah.
Let's take a call.
It's different.
Holly, who's this?
Hello, it's Felicity Fair-Thompson. I wanted to speak to John Owen.
Ah, John, you come through to the on-air studio.
Oh, we were just, how wonderful.
We were just talking about you because you've written a number of books, haven't you?
I have. Felicity Fair-Thompson, that's me.
Okay, well look, if you could call back in about an hour on this number, we should be able to put you through to John and we'll sort out a time for you to come in.
That would be absolutely lovely.
Okay.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Look forward to it.
Lovely to speak to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Right, okay, so there's lots of people that have changed their, you know, flags and their statuses to, and I say, we're not having a go at you at all.
If that's their choice, that's exactly it.
But people seem to be criticising people for doing it, which I think is a little bit, you know, that's not, look, in this time, let's not have a fight with each other over something so trivial.
Yeah, I agree.
It's so silly. There's a guy on here. I'm not going to name names because I think that would be wrong. But he says, for what it's worth, I'm calling false flag on Paris. France is in the process of recognising Palestine, and the French public opinion of the US bombing schools and hospitals as an all-time low, and just before the G20 summit, where one of the main agendas is terrorism. The terrorists wore balaclavas and gloves. Why? And blew themselves up, therefore leaving no real trace of who they are, apart from the passport, which are notoriously bomb-proof, as we all know. So France have done the only sensible thing and bombed the living hell, I've changed the word there, out of people from a safe distance, that they may or may not have anything to do with what happened in Paris, therefore creating more enemies for the future. And you can see where this message is going, and there is sense in there, but what really frustrates me is straight away he's having to go at the people that have changed their flags. They've done it.
Let people do what they how they want to remember people or grieve. Let them do what they want to do, I think.
Definitely.
It's not harming anybody.
Let's take a call. Hopefully it'll be someone for the debate. Hi, who's this?
We're all doomed, Captain Mannering.
That sounds like the guy from Dad's Army, but it's not.
It should be Dad's Army.
The guy with the hell in a handcart.
Yeah, do you know what? It's Uncle Arthur. How are you, Uncle Arthur?
Do you know what? There's two things that are setting all this going, right? One is religion, and the other is oil.
Yeah.
Right.
Until we come up with an alternative to oil, we will never, ever have peace. Because all of this is about oil. Where is most of the oil in the world? Mm. Underneath the people who've got problems with religion. When you look at the Middle East, right, the Middle East will never, ever be safe or shall we say, safe for people. There won't be problems while there's the perception that Israel is a cuckoo in the nest.
Do you really believe that, though? Because, yeah. I don't pay that much attention to certain things on the television. Maybe I should, but I just, because I think sometimes it's all done for effect. It's all done to wind people up and, I don't know, make a situation far worse. I mean, just say, for instance, if I didn't read any papers and didn't watch any television, but you kind of knew because you were living, I don't know, through it, near it, and so on. You may have a different opinion. I don't know. I haven't got a clue. That's what I say. I'm probably just as dumbstruck as anybody else is at the moment, because it suddenly just brings it all home to you just how fragile we all are.
Well,
you know,
it's a fragile existence. But you see, you've got all the holy places of most of the religions are all in the same place, and they're all in Israel. That's the point about it all. And the trouble is that the one thing that all of these various Muslim factions will all agree on, which is the real worrying part about it, is they have a dislike of Israel. And Israel is backed by the Americans, which is why Syria was backed by the Russians. So you've got the two big bullies basically fighting it out through smaller bullies. You know?
Yeah.
And you see, while you've got that situation, it will never ever be sorted. And if you add into the mix oil, which is what everybody wants, you've got all the recipes there for continual conflict.
Yeah, but this continual conflict, I mean, it is getting worse, and it's getting more out of hand.
It's been going on since the end of the Second World War, Ian.
Yeah, but this, I mean, is it because we've got so much technology that we're more aware?
To learn things a lot quicker. I mean, the thing is, what I heard a guy on the television saying on Saturday was that they were monitoring the social media to see what was going on. These are the people that are in power. Because the people on the ground, the first thing they're doing is they're getting their phones out and sending each other pictures and texts.
Yeah.
They know what's going on before the officials know.
Yeah.
Which actually is not a very good situation.
So do you have an answer then?
The first answer is we need to find an alternative to the use of oil. That's the first thing. If we didn't need to kowtow to Saudi Arabia and places like that and Iran for their oil, if we had another alternative, we wouldn't need to go to them. We wouldn't need to be fighting. I mean, what does anybody in the world believe that the war in Iraq was over getting rid of Saddam Hussein?
Well,
yeah.
We did sort of kind of touch on this earlier on off air. I mean, when you go back, and I mean, you know, I might be wrong, but I remember, what was it, 1990, when Iraq invaded Kuwait.
Yep. Mm.
And obviously that was to do with oil. Mm. And then the Americans and the British decided to step in. Mm. And ever since then, you know, there's been these massive issues and progressively getting worse.
Well, the lid was slightly on it, but it had been kicked off since they deposed the Shah of Persia, or the Shah of Iran, shall we say. You know, when he was deposed by Ayatollah Khomeini, it kind of opened the eyes to the West that actually things are not quite so great in that area after all. And all the years that we've been sort of like bending over backwards to appease the people from Saudi Arabia and that, you know, we've been taking our eye off the ball with guys like Gaddafi. You know, how on earth someone like Gaddafi turned up is anybody's guess. But when you look at what's happened post-Gaddafi, you would be welcoming back with open arms, wouldn't you?
Do you know what? Somebody did actually say that to me the other day, and first of all, I thought, really? And then you think, no, actually, what you've just said, at least you had somebody controlling something.
See, the thing is, the lessons of history are never learned. My enemy's enemy is not necessarily my friend.
Yeah.
See, we was all happy and go-lucky, and, yeah, we'll feed Saddam Hussein with armaments while he's having a pop at them horrible people in Iran, because they kicked the Shah out and got a religious fanatic in, you know. But Iran doesn't seem to have done that bad since. It seems to be still managing. And in actual fact, if they want to sort anything in that area out, they're going to blinking well have to speak to Iran, aren't they?
Mm.
You know? But all the while you've got Iran that favours one form of Islam and other countries that favour another form. I mean, not being a Muslim myself, I don't understand how you get different versions of it to the point where you would kill somebody over it, you know?
Yeah. What I have noticed, and I'm sure everyone else has as well, that, you know, there was a period of time in the past when, you know, something like this would happen and people would have a go at the Muslims, they'd have a go at the religion, and you know, more and more people are actually now sort of coming out and saying, look, you know, and quite rightly so, you can't tar everybody with the same brush. You can't say that they're all, and you know, this is just a small percentage. That small percentage sadly is growing and growing into you know, a huge issue. But it was amazing to see people on the on Facebook yesterday trying to not justify but point out, hey, look, we're not thick. We know that there are, you know, Muslim people living in our country, and the majority of them, white Christians. Mm. You know, 99% of them are fine. You know, 1% may be that, you know, that murderer, that suicide bomber. But we don't need to have somebody coming out and shouting the odds at us. I think we're all intelligent enough to realise that. But that's where we kind of end up fighting ourselves. There's all this going on, and there's all, I'm just looking at, just say for instance, I know you're not on Facebook, Arthur, but I look at this and I think, you know, there's comments made and somebody will be straight back at them, and you think, right, okay, so you two now are having an argument.
Yeah.
You two now are having an argument. You're not part of the problem. You're creating more of a problem. We should be stood together side by side. But as soon as somebody does something different or says something different, all of a sudden you've got an argument, and you think, today and the last couple of days, why are we doing that? Why can't we just come out in sympathy without it being an argument with people you don't need to be arguing with?
Yeah, but see, that's the trouble with social media.
Yeah.
You know, everybody that comments on it, or half the people that comment on it, are so blinking cowardly, they can only do it via an assumed name. You know, if you was to walk up into the street and say something to the person you just berated on social media, you'd get your head knocked off, which is why they hide behind. That's one of the reasons why we don't do that sort of stuff, because you've only got to say one thing, and somebody will always make a contrary comment, and it's nearly always something ridiculously stupid. Before you know, someone else has said, oh, well, I agree with him, and before you know it, you've got about three or four people having a go at you for what you might have said in all honesty.
Yeah.
And
that's pointless. I mean, when you've got situations... I mean, I've been on these things in the past, not necessarily on that, but some of the websites where, you know, you can have a discussion on stuff, and you think, what on earth do these people do? They've got nothing better to do than sit there all day looking at the computer, looking at the phone, waiting for someone to make a comment.
Yeah.
That's a very sad life, that.
You see, Facebook can be very dangerous sometimes, I think.
Too many people.
One thing that will upset me with my generation and social media is the whole thing about, obviously, there's Muslims in the country, there's people with loads of different religions and such, but because Muslims are now getting the stick, I bet you there'll be something in the news soon where a bunch of kids will kick in a Muslim. They'll beat him up. They won't know who he is, what he's done. He'd just be a normal fella, and they'll just beat him up, because kids today are so simplistic in the head because of social media.
It's
upsetting.
That's already happening, though.
Yeah.
That situation is already happening up and down the country.
The thing is, the media makes it worse.
It doesn't get reported so much. We keep an eye on what goes on in our local area, and we was quite surprised how many people have been stabbed in our old local area recently.
I knew a guy who was stabbed because of his who he was. He was from Baghdad, and they... Yeah.
But that sort of stuff has always gone on. Yeah. Just that it wasn't so easily reported it is now.
Yeah.
You see? And, of course, once... You see, people have this terrible misconception that everybody that's Islamic is going to have a brown skin, you see? Mm. And that's total rubbish, because I used to, one of my great old mates who used to run a Wimpy was a Turkish Cypriot. Well, he was a Muslim. Mm. But, you know, we used to sit there chatting away, he'd have a drink, he'd eat blinking hamburgers, you know? He was born as a Turkish Muslim. And, you see, where do you want to draw the line? You know, sometimes the people with these religions, you know, they don't want to take on the people that are dodgy. I mean, the Jews don't particularly like the black Jews that come from Africa. Yet they're more Jewish than the people who occupy Israel. You know? So if you're going to, you know, it's like the business we've had with Northern Ireland. You know, all that about Irish republicanism and that. Well, it's all more about Catholics and Protestants. But we're all Christian.
Yeah.
But no, you're not as Christian as I am, because you're a Protestant.
Mm.
See, it's religion again.
Yeah.
Religion is the cause of all of it.
I think it is, a lot to do with it, yeah.
And the thing is, in every single religious context, there is no such thing as murdering other people over your religion.
No.
It's always love thy neighbour and, you know, be...
You see, the trouble with religion is, it's open to interpretation.
Yeah.
And it's however you interpret it is the bit that you live by. And when these guys who've been saying they want to do away with the kufar and all that lot, you know, well, who, you know, what does that mean to anybody? What does it actually mean? The people who they are killing could be as Muslim as they are. They haven't got a clue. If you go out and shoot people dead in the street, you don't know who you're shooting.
Mm. So that would suggest that it's not to do with religion.
Religion is the guise they go under.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's if it was regarded, if the Saudi Arabians was to come out and say, this is terrorism, this is not Islam, the same as if the Pope condemned all them things that went on in Northern Ireland, these things would have to stop.
Yeah, but when you said earlier on, you mentioned it was all to do with oil.
Yeah.
I mean, do you really believe that all that happened on Friday in the name of oil?
No, it's been because of the interference from the, if you like, the West, or the fact that Russia and America have to have a presence in the Middle East because of the oil.
Yeah.
Mm.
If it wasn't for that, if it wasn't for oil in the area, would you think the Americans would be propping up Israel? Do you think that Putin would be propping up Syria?
Good point. Mm.
If you've got one, you've got the other. If we can find a way of doing away with the need for oil, hopefully a little green man will land from Mars and say that religion's a total load of rubbish, I invented it, then we'll all be happy, won't we?
Yeah, see, I don't have a problem with anybody else's religion. I don't know, any beliefs. I think it is a case of simple fact is, do unto others you'd have done to yourself. And I think if we all adapted that kind of attitude, we'd be fine. But I think it goes much, much, much deeper than that. Mm. And we are a planet, unfortunately, that, the unfortunate thing is the worst things on this planet are the humans and the way we treat each other.
Yeah. We could start a fight in an empty room.
We could, yeah.
Mm.
I mean, you don't have to even look too far. Years ago, we used to go out and butcher blinking whales in the oceans, didn't we?
Yeah.
In recent times, we are killing and butchering animals in Africa for their flipping teeth and their horny bits on top of their head. You know,
yeah.
when you look at what is supposed to be a the cleverest we've ever been, does that honestly say that we're clever? You know, you're gonna shoot a rhinoceros just for its horn, which you're gonna grind down. It's gonna be an aphrodisiac for somewhere in the Far East. I mean, you know, it doesn't sort of sound like we're that clever, does it?
Not really. Not really. I mean, some of the other... I'm just looking down the list of on Facebook, and this is where I look at it, and I think I feel a little bit awkward. You've got people here that... and again, I don't want to name names, because it would be wrong. It would be wrong of me, because that's their way of... They've changed their status. They've got the flag and so on and so forth. And I think, okay, you've got your flag, your French flag, and that's your way of dealing with it. I don't have any problem with that whatsoever. Okay, but then on top of your statuses, talking about going on holiday, having a lovely holiday over Christmas, and so on and so forth. And you think, doesn't that belittle what you've actually done? It just sort of, I'm going to go and have a but look at my status, by the way. And then you've got another one that is saying, it's asking the question, close British borders, sign the petition. 3,950 signatures still needed, and you just think that is just all that is doing is just breeding hatred, and you think, okay, I can see why people are saying it, but let's not be foolish enough to actually think that, okay, these people that are going to be putting us at risk, then it's not like they're not here yet. You've probably got a number of people that are here, and let's just point out, let's be absolutely honest, some of these people are actually born in Britain. They're English, and they're going out to Syria to join them. Yeah.
Well,
it's far bigger.
The people that murdered that bandsman in southeast London were born here.
Mm. Yeah.
You know? That could have been me, you, or anybody.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know? And the thing is, it's... I don't know, it's today's news, isn't it? One thing that struck me at the weekend, I said to my wife about it, I thought it was a little bit odd. This outpouring of grief in France, in Paris particularly, and they all go to the Place de la République, yeah?
Yeah.
And the damn thing's covered in graffiti.
Right.
Yes, it was. I noticed that.
I mean, this is the place they go to. This is like, I'm not saying our cenotaph, but it's the place where everybody sort of reveres. Oh, we'll go there. We'll all march to there. Place de la République. Someone's covered it all in blinking graffiti.
Mm.
And you think to yourself, well, hang on a minute. You know, if this is so revered, who on earth would go there with a spray can and spray all over it? You know, these are the same people that painted blinking hair pieces on Winston Churchill's statue. You know, it's today's news. It's tomorrow's blinking fish and chip paper again, isn't it?
Yeah, but sadly, what will be the next big story will surpass this one, no doubt.
Yes.
I mean, this is just escalating now.
Well, the only worrying thing that for us all is if all these different factions of Islam somehow manage to get reconciled and all become one interest.
I'm starting to get that feeling where that countries are beginning to unite over this. I mean, going back, 12 months ago, up to 12 months ago, I thought it was only the Brits and the Americans that kind of suffered at the hands of terrorists. But it would appear that other countries are now suffering as well. So,
well, Spain needs to be looking over its shoulder. Because it's an avowed attempt, intent of IS to get rid of all the people from Spain that, because they shifted all the Muslims out of there back in the God knows whatever century. You know, Spain's on their radar. They need to be aware. You know, it's all very well them, you know, saying, oh, it's not, no, we're not going to have any problems. We'll take our soldiers away, you know, because we had a bomb in Madrid. You know, we won't have anything to do with it. Well, actually, you're on the blinking radar, boys. I'm sorry to say, because Spain kicked out all the Muslims, didn't it?
Do you worry, because I know you've got grandchildren, but do you worry about the future is, you know, going to pan out?
You know, the way I see it, I think the world's going to become a lot smaller because, you know, I don't think we're going to be doing so much of these package holidays to Africa and the south of France and that, the way things are going.
Sadly, that...
No, we won't.
I completely agree, and you know, I can see why that you think it, and other people would think it, and other people would put something, you know, don't put things in place because of the dangers of. But at the same time, you also think, well, hang on a minute, aren't we just giving in?
Mm. Well, you are giving in, but it's not just about what might happen. It's going to be the rigmarole you have to go through to get to these places. I mean, everybody that goes to America now, I don't go, never likely to go, but everybody goes to America from here normally says, oh, it was a nightmare, the time we had to wait to get through the custom control and all that, and, you know, because of the extra levels of security. Well, for someone like me that don't like flying, you know, the last thing I want to do is spend another 3 hours in a blinking airport.
Yeah, but it's good that they're doing it, Arthur, though, isn't
it? Well, it is, but what I'm saying is, it will put a number of people
It would do, definitely.
And if the destination's going to be slightly dodgy in the first place,
yeah.
Well, why go?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of places now that people will avoid. Yeah.
You see? There you go, Geezer.
Anything else you want to say, Arthur?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, my tea's gone cold.
Apologies for your tea
How many cups of tea have you had this morning, Arthur?
How many have I had this morning?
Yeah.
I'm on about my fourth.
Is that all?
Well, I ain't had my lunch yet.
Oh, right.
All right, well, you enjoy your lunch.
Yeah, but you invent something that will do away with the need for oil and you'll solve half the problem overnight.
Yeah.
You're probably right, because it's all stemmed from there at some point.
Yeah.
You know, the reason why we went in 1990 was over oil, and it's just escalated from there. But let's be honest, you know, things were happening a lot more before, you know, before then. Long time before then, so I think you that and religion maybe. I don't know, but
well,
it's somebody said over the weekend. I've heard this numerous times about people saying that, you know, that how can you work out the insides of these people's minds, because they just it's just like somebody that and there are people that, you know, all religions, all shapes, all sizes, all colors, that actually believe that it's okay to rape babies, to rape children. How can you fathom out how they're thinking? Equally, how can you fathom out that, you know, by strapping a bomb to themselves, and somebody made the point earlier on about covering their faces, you know, you think, well, where is the logic in that? You know, kamikaze pilots,
though, you've got double standards in all of that. They are talking about purifying the world and having this caliphate, and everybody's going to live by it, be proper Muslim people, is what they're sort of saying. But yet again, these people are actually taking other Muslims and God knows what other religions, women, and using them as whatever.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, you know, if you're going to be a strict Muslim person, you shouldn't be doing that. So it's whatever you want to believe out of it, isn't it?
See, I know that we've mentioned Muslims and so on and so forth. I don't think that's the issue. I really don't. I think it goes deeper than that. And I don't think you're going to get these guys around a table to sort of talk about it. I just think they're on a different planet to you and I.
You won't get the IS people around a table. The only way you're going to deal with them is to cut off their funding. Stop them being able to buy the weapons.
Mm.
You're not going to get rid of the fundamentalism and their beliefs, but if you cut off their funding, you know, so they can't go and buy this stuff, cut off their supply routes, so they can't... I mean, they'll soon run out.
Yeah. I mean, just reiterate what Brandon said earlier on, he's absolutely spot on with it, that all religions, I think you said all religions, it's not nowhere in their Bible, nowhere in their mechanics.
It doesn't say ever that they should kill one another.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, it's... This,
right.
to
you
me.
You better go to some adverts, Geezer.
We better head. All right, crikey.
A cup of tea now.
Look at the time, yeah.
Have your tea, Arthur.
Pop it in the microwave, full blast, 30 seconds, it'll be all right.
that's not going to save the planet, is it?
We'll forgive you this once. All right.
All right.
Thanks for being there, Arthur. Later. Cheers now. Bye. Okay, so 16 minutes to one. We should come back and we should chat about this. Is this like, you know, does this help by talking about it?
I think it gets it out. It's a subject that not many people are happy to discuss, but when it comes down to it, it's good to just kind of, I don't know, hear someone else's opinion on it. I mean, I like to hear what you guys have said, and I've liked what Arthur said. It's nice to know that people out there actually do give a damn about what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I'd give a damn. Yeah,
we're just raising that awareness.
It's difficult to talk about.
I'd wish that none of this happened and we were talking about something a little bit more light-hearted, to be honest, or something that was actually going to do any good.
Yeah.
You know, by talking, does it make you feel any better? I don't know.
It might do some people, you know.
Okay, look, we'll take a break and we'll come back with part two in a wee while.
The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone, 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people.
The House of Chili. Jams and chutneys, balsamics, hot sauces, marinades and much more to spread the warming glow of chili love. Find them at Hollier's Farm, PO36 OLT. The House of Chili. Their aim is not just to help the hardened chili heads feel the burn, but to offer a range of products suited to all tastes. Go to www.houseofchili.com.
Darling, we desperately need our gutters cleaned.
Give Whitestream a call. They are the island's exterior cleaning and restoration specialist. They clean gutters, fascias and the windows in one package.
Do they clean driveways too?
Hang on, I'll just check. www.whitestream.co.uk. Yes, they do. Wow, it looks like they cover it all. Maritime, commercial, industrial, restoration and solar panels. When was the last time we had our solar panels cleaned, love?
We haven't.
It says here we could be losing up to 30% efficiency if they're not cleaned regularly.
Better get them to do that too. I'm just telling my mum about Whitestream. What was the number and website?
The number is 01983 642 101.
Say that again.
01983 642 101. And the website is www.whitestream.co.uk.
Whitestream, the island's exterior cleaning and restoration specialist. It's what's on the outside that counts.
Where do you go for a wide range of animal feeds, accessories and lots more? Sandown Pet Store are the island's premier store for all your pets needs. We are open 6 days a week on St John's Road, Sandown. Telephone 01983 407788 and speak to Paul or Wendy for a friendly and reliable service.
The 4Ps project is for 11 to 19 year olds and up to 25 years with additional needs. Presenting, producing, promoting and podcasting. Check out www.4ps.org.uk. Sponsored by CLC, the Care Learning Centre.
The Lunchtime Social Debate is back on Vectis Radio. There is lots to discuss.
And one thing we all say is that, you know, Freemasonry is all about making good men better.
Monday through to Thursday, 12 till noon. Call us on 01983 240666, email studio at vectisradio.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook too.
Social and get in touch. Give us a call on 01983 240 666.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Call them on 01983 240 240. That's 01983 240 240.
All right, we're back with part two. Just to remind you, Kevin is here at 1 o'clock today. Dame Shirley's in the studio, and so is Brandon as well. It's just interesting. We're talking about the events of the last couple of days, the atrocities in Paris, and so on. And it's like I don't know what we're talking about it. We don't want to, but we feel that we should, because otherwise it would be deemed that, well, hang on a minute, you don't tackle the difficult stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe by talking about it, we understand each other a little bit more. I'm kind of more understanding of you know, youngsters, because I'm listening to Brandon. Brandon's 19. You know, you're 70-ish, and here we are, the three kind of generations. Mm. And we started off by saying, what world are we going to live? What are we going
to
leave our kids? What for the future for them? And it is a concern. And I know that you know, people will want to talk about it. The one thing I don't know how you feel about this, but I really detest the way that the media has gone about its business. I've said this once this lunchtime. I'll say it again. You know, you don't need BBC and ITV cameras in a place where people are worshiping and paying their respects to their friends, their family, and all of a sudden you've got hundreds and hundreds of cameras outside.
You do. You put the telly on, there's loads of cameras around, everybody's taking photographs, and it's wrong.
Go back a week when that young lad was sentenced to death, sentenced to life for killing his sister. Mm. You know, they made such a big thing because it was obviously mother and father. Father was the girl's daughter, and the mother was the, you know, and they were married, and they made such a big thing of it. They put these poor people on the television, and they almost made them. I think they were angling for them. They're going to tear each other apart, but they wouldn't. Their bond was so strong. And then 24 hours later, when it's all done, they're outside the house. This is how vile our media is. I think it was ITV. They're outside their house and they're asking the question, how are they going to get their life back on track? Well, you can remove the cameras for a start. And that's exactly how I feel for what's going on in Paris at the moment. You've got hundreds of TV cameras, hundreds of TV crew there. You only need the French people there.
And the questions that these reporters ask them is absolutely stupid.
They've got some guy on this morning that obviously had something to do with our secret service some years ago, and they asked him a question: how safe are we? And he said, well, you might not like to hear this, but you're not safe at all.
He did say that.
You don't need an expert to tell you that. It's a bit like when it's peeing down with rain, you don't need a weather person to tell you that it's raining today, do you? And that's how I kind of feel about it.
But they get these people in the studio, they got that mum and dad in, and the question they were asking them I thought were dreadful. I can't understand people going in anyway. Do they give them money for going in? I just don't know why they do it.
Let's be honest, you know, you're not going to be thinking straight. That lady we were talking about last week, whose
got
son
MS
was
as well, hasn't she?
She looked like she
dreadful.
Hadn't slept in months.
No.
And
but why did she go in the studio? I can't understand people.
Well, because they probably feel obliged to, I don't know, but
then ask the most stupidest questions.
But some of the things that they do is just incredible, and it beggars belief. They get people in and ask them, like you say, silly questions. Are we at risk? Yeah, you're goddamn right we're at risk. And we have been for a while. Only today, you know, we hear that six more atrocities were, you know, sorted out, or we were saved by our secret service, which is, you know, do we need to know that?
No.
You know, do we need to know? I mean, it's talk about sending a warning. They announced this morning that they're going to, you know, there's 1,900 more people being drafted in.
That's right.
Well, do we need to announce that? Do you need to know that to appease you?
I don't think anybody needs to know that, because the people that are doing it, they don't need to know what we're doing.
It's intrusive.
You know, as well, I think.
For all the wrong reasons. Right. And sadly, you know, however much I think Facebook and Twitter are wonderful things, I also think they're probably the biggest issue we have.
They are nasty.
It's dangerous, Facebook is. I think you have to be so careful who you've got on your Facebook.
I'm getting moaned at right now on my Facebook.
Are you?
Yeah, I don't really put up many attention-seeking posts, but, like, just yesterday I put something up, and I'm getting stint from someone saying I'm incorrect about things. And not saying it's horribly, but women...
Well, they are
not in that way. I mean,
well, you will love these women, you see. I mean,
I mean, at today's age, men are women, women are men. I feel like, you know, men can't say or do certain things, and women have that whole freedom to do what they like.
Men put things on Facebook for women to read. Yeah, is that right?
Yeah, kind of in that aspect. But anyway,
I mean, years ago we used to write letters, didn't we? We're getting off the subject now, aren't we? We used to write letters, but now they send a message on Facebook to somebody, don't they? Don't you?
Yeah. Do you know what, Shirley? It's you know, going off subject. That's, you know, that's fine, because that's...
It's a bad song.
Life goes on.
Yeah, it does.
At the end of the day, however difficult it will be for certain people around the world who have been for a hell of a lot more than we have, you know, life will go on at some point.
Well, the thing we can say is that this is mainstream at the moment. Give it a few weeks, a few months, it will disappear. And it'll go on to something else, hopefully.
Until the next time.
Sadly, Brandon, I don't think it won't. I think this is you know, the beginning of something that is going to change the way we are on this planet.
I
think it's something evil out there, sadly. Yeah. I mean, you know, I hope that I'm dreadfully wrong.
Well, whatever it is, if it's going to change the world, then we definitely know for sure that it's not what it all is. I think there's something dark underneath it, especially for a random group of terrorists to appear out of nowhere, be all over the world, able to bring weapons into countries, kill random people, and then disappear. You know, as that comment you saw, passports, them dreadful passports that can survive bombs, and, you know, like 9/11. That's a good one. A burning building that fell to the ground with molten magma pools of iron and steel, yet there's passports fully intact. Perfect.
Do you know, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because it was done by thermite, apparently. It's a conspiracy theory, but if you ever read up thermite, you'll see what it does. It cuts steel beams like butter. I'll show you it, Dame. It will open up your eyes. But it there's a lot to it, isn't there, Macca? There's a lot to it and to the world. But I just hope it doesn't ruin the world, because I want my kids to be happy when I raise my children. I want a world that's peaceful.
Well, the next 12 months or so, I think, will be... probably could be the most important,
one of the worst.
Well, it could be one of the worst, but it could be one of the most important years ever.
I think a lot depends on what the leaders do.
I think so.
We've got to let them sort it out and hope they do what we want them to do.
People have got to unite and stand up too, and that's why I feel uncomfortable with stopping what we're normally doing. No, we just carry on.
Yeah,
you just get on with it. Stiff upper lip and all that, and you just get on with it. And you know, let's not forget those people that have sadly lost their lives in the most awful way, but we just get on with it.
And maybe
that's the biggest respect we can pay them.
And they need to stop putting it all on the television, I think, or the films all the time. We've seen a lot of it.
It's all about ratings.
Talk about it, but not keep showing us
television,
the same bits of film.
Media should be more respectful
of
what's gone on. And I think that, you know, they should make a start now, and we should all make a start now you know, just getting on with our lives
and saying we will
get on with our lives, and that's the way we're going to react to you. And it means then that, you know, the powers that be have to unite and do whatever's necessary to make this world a safer place to live in. And that goes both ways. You know, it really does.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, I'm done. Are you done?
Are you done? Are you done, Brandon?
Yeah, this Facebook post is annoying me as well.
Dear. It's about a woman. It's all over a girl, I expect.
Well, it's one of the friends of a girl.
Yeah.
All right, then let's just say this. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you're here to do a blimmin' job. Get off Facebook. Get off Facebook. Solves the issue.
Yeah. See, I'm thinking that. I might just remove it. Just delete it off.
There you go.
Take them all off if they're making your life miserable.
Women do get used to it. Yeah. A lifetime of it. Thank you, Dame Shirley. Thank you, Brandon.